This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab. It comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. Now, I know you're not outside because everyone in the news media has told you that it's hot. You know, like when it's cold, they tell you your skin's going to freeze in 4 seconds. Here, if you go outside, you're just going to die. This is pretty much what the news has said all morning today and for the past few days. So we're all going to die. So you're all cuddled up around your computer with your air conditioning blasting, your fans going, or whatever.
It's 78 degrees.
It's only 78 degrees. And so I'm going to probably predict you're not going to die. But feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, if you have a computer problem or question or concern. We're here to help you out.
And if you go outside, hydrate first.
Drink water. We'll be part of the solution too. Yeah, make sure you're hydrated.
Just get high-tech water.
Right. Vitamin water. Yeah. So, Bob, you got a story you want to start out with, right?
Yeah, FaceApp.
Yeah, the FaceApp that everyone's talking about.
It could face FBI, FTC investigations over security concerns.
No.
Senator Chuck Schumer and the Democratic National Committee say that Russia is involved in a problem. Is a problem.
Of course. Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Now, the thing about this face app, everyone was so excited to see how old they were going to look if they started with their face and they put it in there and then it would show you what you looked like in 30 or 40 or however many years. And it was so cute and cuddly, right, Bob? I mean, I saw the people on the Today Show having so much fun with it. I'm thinking, guys, it is a Russian app. What are you doing?
I'm a little bit more negative about it than you are. First of all,
I am negative about it.
There's the EULA. But second of all, what it doesn't take into account of all the pictures that I've seen, and I'm not putting mine in there, but... Okay. Out of all the pictures I've seen, yeah. All of these people, they did this age progression using AI.
Right.
But it didn't take into account how many people actually gain weight as they get older.
Oh.
So their face gets a little thicker and a little more round and, you know,
so
little, maybe
you don't
double
even,
chins.
You don't even think on top of it being a security problem, you don't even think it's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't think it's as smart as some people think it is. Oh, yeah, it's pretty cutesy. Well, you know, they've had apps for years where you could turn people into cartoons.
Well, yes, of course. But the thing is, Bob, I agree with you completely. I mean, when I was watching the Today Show, Dingalings, talking about how great this app was, having all their fun, I'm like, you literally are putting your face on a Russian app, giving them your information. Now, we already do this with Google and Facebook, and of course, we're not worried about those guys. But this is a Russian company, and they actually say they can keep all the data. So if you're looking for, you know, to give Russia what you're going to look like between now and when you're older, put your face on this type of stuff. But the point is, these news companies don't even have the producers even look to see who put this out. There's no risk involved. They didn't take a second. I mean, these very smart news agencies, I put that in quotes, don't even look. And now all of a sudden they're reporting, hey, this is probably a privacy problem. Well, yeah.
Well, that's the same companies that kind of report opinions as news. But,
that's true.
Anyway, the Democratic – I'm jumping ahead.
Of course.
The Democratic National Committee sent a security alert to the 2020 presidential campaigns on Wednesday, urging them not to use the app.
Duh. Nobody should be using the app.
Well, you know, we got a lot of very, you know, like the best and the brightest running for president this year. So,
and period, guys, don't use this app. It's and this is the moral of the story. Number one, if the news is talking about it, assume they haven't done anything to figure out whether it vetted it at all. All right, they have not. These guys don't vet anything. All right, they just regurgitate. Most likely, this first was shown on some one tech blog. The Russians probably wrote a little story themselves. put it out on a tech blog and somebody picked it up. And then instantly it becomes news because most journalists don't write anything. They just have the other folks write it for them. And then they just spread it around.
Well, it's amazing when you listen to the news on every channel, they're repeating the news almost word for word.
Exactly.
They get the same writer. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's all plagiarism. But the point is, you guys shouldn't be following what these guys say. You should always look to see. The first thing you should do is go figure out where these apps are coming from. There's so many free games on your phones. There's so many things on your phones right now that are probably phoning home to people you would not be happy to know have this information about you. They probably have location information. They probably can turn your microphone on. They can probably turn your camera on. They can just take your data.
This app under the EULA says it's entitled to all the data that's on your phone forever.
Right. So, come on, guys. Don't put this junk on your phone.
What about your banking information?
Come on. You can't make it up. So, don't use that face app. And just pay attention, obviously. So, in other news, our still revolutionary Connecticut, our governor has put together something called the Connecticut 5G Council. And it was lauded that, you know, we're going to make sure we grease the skids and get 5G implemented here in Connecticut. We're going to be a high-tech state and get things moving quicker with this 5G council.
And so what's the tax on it going to be?
I won't even go there. I'm not even going to go to that level yet because I have no idea. But everyone's so excited that the governor has decided to figure out how we can site these 5G antennas on state property. This has nothing to do with any other property, just state property. So how do you deal
with... Well, that's half the state.
How do you deal with the bureaucrats? You know, Governor Lamont is saying, we want to make sure we can get this stuff going quickly and we'll get this council together for you. So I was excited to hear, geez, I'm sure, you know, this council on 5G is going to be, you know, chock full of Connecticut's best and brightest, right? The engineers of Connecticut, the IT guys of Connecticut, the business leaders of Connecticut, so they can go and tell the bureaucrats that we need to get this done quickly, right? You'd think that's the kind of council.
And how it can be done quickly.
Right. Wouldn't you want to know how it could be done? Because, I mean, I was on the Board of Water Commissioners in Southington. I'm an amateur when it comes to putting in water pipes. What do I know? We had to consult who? Engineers. Pay for studies. Figure this stuff out. Because dinglings like me didn't know how to put a water system in. So I assume that this council is going to be chock full, right, of IT guys, engineers, and business leaders who are going to tell the bureaucrats where their problems are, right? Well, let's see. Who do you think's on the commission? Well, he's going to appoint an office. He's going to appoint one employee of the office of the governor, a bureaucrat. All right, that's the first guy he's going to put on, or gal. He's going to put the University of Connecticut president on there. Well, University of Connecticut can't even run their athletic program. They're $40 million in debt this past year. But I'm sure it's going to be very good. We're going to get everything done with
it's
the University
money.
Of Connecticut.
We just raised tuition. No big deal.
No big deal.
Students can afford it.
The president of the Connecticut State's colleges and universities. This is an organization that can't even figure out if they want to consolidate. Yes. All right. So you got three bureaucrats on the committee for 5G technology. Let's see who else is on there. Ah, the secretary of the Office of Policy and Management. Another bureaucrat. Oh, lovely. How about this? The Commissioner of Administrative Services. What the heck do they have any idea about 5G? And a commissioner generally is an appointed political officer who was sitting in the legislature just a couple days ago, right? I mean, I don't know who this person is, but generally commissioners are politicians. Another commissioner of transportation. Oh, great. A commissioner of energy and environmental house is on there as well.
What's transportation got to do with 5G?
No kidding. So this entire 5G council is made up of bureaucrats, not one IT person among them, not one engineer among them, purely bureaucrats. We've got people in this state who sent people to the moon 50 years ago. They couldn't put one engineer on this thing to say, hey, you know, just so you can tell these guys how the sausage is made. It's mind-boggling if you think about it, just how badly we deal with getting broadband internet out here where we can't even designate a foot of room on our telephone poles to allow for, you know, fiber to run through there.
Even though it's legislated?
Even though it's legislated. We've got folks like Pura saying, sorry, we can't let you do that. And believe it or not, Pura would have made some sense to be on this, even ex officio. But they're not even on here because they have some experience with this. That'd be crazy talk.
Yeah, but you got to understand, I believe firmly that in politics, ignorance is bliss.
There it is. So this Council on 5G is made up of a bunch of bureaucrats. And you know the old saying, right? Those that can do, those that can't are politicians and bureaucrats. And that's what we've got here. But what do other states do, Bob? Well, I got a thing from Fierce Wireless that talks about 22 states are actually implementing statewide regulations. Huh, that's an idea. That limits government fees and speeds review periods. So these states have figured out that you need to limit government to implement 5G. And they're gonna say the maximum amount of cost you can charge the 5G carriers is $25 per year for the use of the right-of-way and $65 per year to attach their antenna to a pole. So they're actually putting in limits on government. Thank goodness. And of course, they say that you need to either approve or disapprove the small cell attachments within 60 days. So these states are saying, we want to really expedite 5G implementations. Here in Connecticut, we make up a council of bureaucrats. And this only has to do with dealing with siting them on state property. And these guys don't have a clue as to how 5G works. Whereas other states are saying, statewide, here's how we get this done. We're still revolutionary here in Connecticut, aren't we? You can't make it up. I was so excited to see who was going to be on this council with such great engineers in Connecticut, great scientists. I mean, University of Connecticut, the president? Maybe the computer science teacher professor should be on it, but not the president. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, that's probably why they did it, but 5G. Here it comes, Connecticut.
Take care of your promise.
I guess. All right. We're going to be here until I just couldn't believe it. I had to talk about it today. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You're going to die if you go outside, according to the weatherman. So stay inside with your computer. Cuddle up with that. Get your air conditioning going. Drink lots of water. Stay hydrated and give us a call. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And just looking forward to that council, man, making things so great for the rest of us out here with 5G. Can't make it up. Let's go to Tony in South Windsor first. Morning, Tony.
Good morning.
What's up?
Before I have a question, I have a comment. I don't know if it's just me, but do you notice that almost every July and August it gets hot?
I've noticed that, Tony. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. Maybe we ought to do a story on that.
Yeah. Okay. Summer's back. It's almost the same way with turning the clocks back and forth. Every year, every twice a year that happens, it's like it's the end of the world. Well, there's stories about you're going to fall asleep.
We have climate change twice a year.
Exactly.
Called winter and summer. Right. And the transition is spring and fall.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. I don't know, Tony. So what's going on with you, sir?
Here's my question.
Yeah.
I listen every week, but it's off and on because I'm usually in and out of the car. But this morning I decided I'm going to stay on because I've been curious about this question.
Okay.
I hear you talk a lot about open DNS.
Yes, sir.
And I was just wondering one question. What is the distinction or difference or advantage of open DNS versus VPN? Can you do both? And why would you if you did?
So The distinction is OpenDNS is a let's put it more simply, it's the information superhighway. So just think of Al Gore, and yep, you're going to have your own little HOV lane on the information superhighway that does not have off ramps to bad neighborhoods.
That's OpenDNS.
That's OpenDNS. So you're more safe on the internet because OpenDNS is not going to let you go to malicious sites that are going to bring bad stuff to your computer. And if you configure it, you can also block types of sites. Like if you have children in your home and you want to block the pornography, if you've got somebody with a gambling addiction, you can turn off gambling sites. You can do all sorts of things where you can actually control what is being shown on your computer. It's a filtration system, or just simply a more safe highway.
And you can also customize it also. So, for instance, let's say you shut off gambling.
Right.
But you want to allow the Connecticut Lottery. You can waitlist that.
Right.
So that sort of thing.
It can be very customizable. But generally, if you just want to keep it going in general without any of that customization, it's a safer way to surf. A VPN is you're going to actually connect to the internet and actually pop out somewhere where the server is located, let's say in Saskatchewan or wherever you choose it. Maybe it's in Peru. Who knows? And now you're browsing.
Or China.
Yeah, that's a problem. If the VPN is owned by a Chinese company, which a big chunk of them are, you're going to be watched by China. But you're going to pop out on a server somewhere else rather than – so think of it like a wormhole or a gopher hole where you're actually surfing somewhere else.
But the VPN encrypts your data.
Correct.
So that somebody who might be doing a packet capture and reading what you're sending, they can't because it's encrypted through right. that VPN until it gets to the other end of the tunnel.
Exactly. So the point with the VPN is if you're in a public place like a hotel or if you're in a coffee shop and for whatever reason you're doing your banking or something you want to keep more secure, if you do a VPN, the chances of anybody in that same coffee shop sniffing out your information goes away because they can't. It's encrypted. So
what if I'm in the coffee shop and I have open DNS on my iPad?
That's great. You're going to be more safe on their network, but the bad guy in the seat behind you can still sniff out what you're doing.
Oh.
Okay. So when you're on a public network of any kind, in the airport, in a stadium, anywhere it's a public network, there could be plenty of people that have tools on their computers that are sniffing out what Tony from South Windsor is running on his computer, and their goal is to try to capture that information so that they can then log in as you because you were doing things on the internet.
So if you decide to log into your bank
right.
at the airport.
Yeah, you're a ding-a-ling.
I don't do that.
All right.
On OpenDNS, now if I add the two, as I understand, if I add the two URLs for OpenDNS.
IP addresses, yes.
IP addresses, yes. Do I do that in addition to the ones that are already on there or instead of?
Instead of. The ones that are on there now are from your internet provider.
Right.
So instead of using their IP addresses, you're going to use OpenDNS's IP addresses. Which
so
are,
do I have to go in and delete theirs?
Yeah. You want to put in an item that uses a specific one. You're going to choose it.
And I would recommend you go one step further, and when you go to OpenDNS website,
yeah.
create a free account,
mm-hmm.
and then you can download this IP updater that they have.
Right.
And so that you'll always be protected, and with the account, you can customize it.
Right. The IP updater is going to change your settings based on the fact that your internet provider is going to give you a new IP address. So if you have custom settings, without that IP updater, they wouldn't be able to be applied.
So how does this OpenDNS provider make any money or exist?
So the company is Cisco, so they're doing fine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good company, good stock.
Yeah, exactly. So OpenDNS was a different, was their own company before Cisco purchased them now, maybe four years ago.
Okay.
So again, in this case, there is some level of marketing going on here where IT people are looking at their solution as a solution for professional solutions versus the home. But okay. that's why they
so,
do it.
The home, the difference is the home account gives you one IP address at a time.
Right.
Okay. And it follows you and it's free. But if you're in a business, then the businesses pay for a business account. So that's where their funding comes in. Basically, the businesses are subsidizing the free home accounts.
Right. And it's good marketing because it gets the name out there and it's a great tool. I mean, we've recommended it for a long time now. And we had calls. People are calling us even when we were recommending the Blue Coat stuff way back when, K9. People are saying, hey, I use OpenDNS. And we looked at it, but we never really paid too much attention to it. But it turns out it's a much better solution than
yeah,
a K9
I was
solution.
Using it.
Yeah, you
back.
Were.
Well,
yeah.
I don't intend to do this, but I'm just curious. Could you do both OpenDNS and VPN?
Of course. Yeah, the OpenDNS is going to give you a safer internet experience. But the moment you use the VPN tunnel, you're popping out and the other servers.
Then
so
you're using their DNS.
Then you're going to use their DNS if it's configured properly. Because if you use your own local DNS, the idea of the security and privacy you're looking for kind of goes away.
What was the percentage of VPN providers that are from China?
I want to say it was a good chunk. So be careful with the VPN service you choose. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If they're Chinese companies, you don't want to use their software.
No, not at all.
All right, Tony?
All right. Thank you, Lon. I'm glad I stayed and listen to this.
We're glad you did, too.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back after the news. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We are here live. We made it through the heat. We made it through the humuggity, as it's been called on. I was listening to... I was watching Nesson, I think, watching the Sox, and somebody was calling humuggity. We made it through. We survived. It is July in Connecticut. And we're here to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. And all the lines are all jammed up, so let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to our resident groupie, Danny, in Glastonbury. Hey, Danny.
Hey, happy 50th anniversary of this holy day.
Yeah, it was a great day 50 years ago, landing on the moon.
Jeez, did you see me on TV when you watched him come down off the ladder? I was right on the other side of the landing leg assisting him. You couldn't see me. I was in the shadows.
Oh, gotcha. It's good that you were there helping him out.
I was in that warehouse in Houston.
No. Yeah. I was chemically enhanced or rocket fueled.
Ah.
That I was actually there.
Gotcha. I have no idea what you're talking about, Danny, but...
Okay. Anyway... I was trying to go to Hartford Hospital cardiac cath lab because I'm going to have surgery.
I know, it's coming up.
Yeah, and when I went to I went to Chrome and I just typed it in.
Yeah.
And when I clicked on it, I got the web page and stuff. And when I clicked on the little icon for the website, I get this thing that says first up the top, the HTTPS is in red and it's got two lines through it with
yes.
a little thing, and you know it says, and then I got a big. Exclamation red triangle. It says your connection is not private.
Right.
Attackers might be trying to get your information, passwords, credit cards, blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
So naturally, I didn't go any further.
Right.
It says net error, cert common name invalid.
Right. So this happened to us last Saturday. Our certificate on computertalkwithtab.com expired. Our ding-a-ling web host... Every year they do this to us. We don't know why. They can't seem to get it right, but they do often screw that up. And what happens is Chrome throws a hissy fit and says, hey, this isn't a secure browser. And the secure browser, I mean, it costs literally, I don't know, $100 a year. It's not an expensive item to add a certificate that says you are who you say you are. However,
right.
just so you understand, the bad guys do this too. So in the case of... the hospital, they let their certificate expire. But if I wanted to create a website that looked extra safe for you and felt like Citibank or felt like wherever.
Right, since their certificate's expired.
I would buy a certificate for my fake Citibank site, right? So you can't assume just because it's an HTTPS site anyways that it's the one you want to go to.
Oh, okay.
Just to add a little more complexity to your lives.
Mm-hmm.
But all that means is when you do go online and enter any data, it's encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all it means. So you're safe to go ahead to that cardiac site because they just let their certificate expire.
So if I were a criminal and I wanted to imitate, let's say, Citibank,
right.
I could look for a domain that wasn't taken, like, say, CitibankCT.com.
Right, something that's spelled close.
Try to copy, you know, their web.
Right, right.
And then it would look like it's a legitimate, and then get a certificate for it.
Right.
And if I can get you to log in and give me your credentials.
Via a phishing campaign.
Exactly. Now I'm
got
making money.
Your bank information.
So my little investment pays me back in
spades.
Is this something I should notify them about, or do you think they must?
They know about it. You can let them know.
Everybody that goes there must be getting this, right?
Yeah, their certificate expired, and their web host did the exact same thing to them that our web host did to us.
Well, you know, they consolidated all their cardiologists and stuff under one group.
Yep.
And, like, you can't get through on the phones because they only have one phone number now, and all the websites are screwed up.
Mm.
And, like, I lost my little My Chart where I have the portal to my different doctors. Three of those disappeared.
Well, that's because I've got them now.
What? What'd you say?
I logged in as you, and I have them now.
Oh, okay.
Danny.
Well, that's good. Well, you can go have my surgery for me then.
No, thanks. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got one other quick question.
Yeah.
I asked you last week about after 11 o'clock, my tablet slows down.
Right.
Well, I did a Infinity speed test last night.
Yeah.
And I had, and it was after 11 o'clock again, and I had downloaded at 3.4, and 0.6 for upload.
Yeah.
But when I went to my settings and I looked at my connection to my
your router,
I had 1 megabit.
Oh, then your router's got a problem, kid.
Yeah, so somehow or other, after 11 o'clock, the router speeds, I mean, because sometimes it'll be 154, 89, you know, it's always good all day long.
Yeah.
And I checked it just before 11 o'clock at 10 o'clock, and I had 89.
That's something wrong with your router or your tablet. You have to check your other devices to see if they have a similar speed to rule out your tablet having the problem.
Yeah. It's not like anybody's tapped into my router and they're using it to mine Bitcoin or something.
Just me.
After 11 o'clock or anything.
Just me, Danny. Over the years, I figured out your password.
Yeah.
No, probably not. It's probably your tablet. Just double-check another wireless device to see if it has the same result. If it does, then it's your router. If it doesn't, it's your tablet.
And would just resetting the router maybe straighten that out?
Not if it's your tablet. You'd reset.
I mean, if it's the router, though.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll check tonight with my wife's tablet. And
if you get the same result, it's your router. Yeah. If it's a different result, you reset your tablet.
Okay.
All right, Danny.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, good luck, man. All right, so he's got some stuff going on. So, yes, if you know the site is a site that's a safe site, you can go ahead and continue on. But Google is going to freak out. Chrome is going to freak out and say, hey, this is not a secure site. It used to be, but their certificate has expired. You know, pass at your own risk. It happens very often when these certificates expire. Let's go on to Paul in Middlebury. Hey, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, so I think I listened to your show. I don't understand half what you're talking about, but it's a fun show to listen to.
Oh, thanks.
So I got home one day, and I couldn't get a jumble word. So I went into Google, and I went into Jumble Solver, and this pop-up came up that I've been hacked, and I need to call this phone number.
Right, that's a scam.
And I tried for 15 minutes to exit out, and it wouldn't go away.
Right.
So I called the phone number.
No, Paul, you didn't call the phone number. What?
Yeah, I broke a commandment there.
Oh, no.
This guy said he was a Microsoft technician.
He's not. He's some guy sitting in some hut in the middle of the third world.
Yeah, he had an accent. So after talking
accent or not, that's where he was.
Right.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I got to go. He typed online that he wanted me to spend $100 to do this and $75 to do that. And in the end, it would be secure and that I didn't have a good antivirus. I needed his antivirus.
Paul.
I told him I did have an antivirus. And I said, listen, I got to talk to my brother-in-law. He's a computer whiz. He'll help me figure this out. Or I'm going to bring my computer to Staples where I bought it and have them fix it, or I'm going to chuck it and buy a new computer with a new
right. But again, Paul, nothing was wrong with your computer.
So I hung up.
Good.
The guy was very insistent.
Of course, he's got a live one on the phone who actually made the phone call. You're alive. You're close
he's
to spending
trying
some
to
money.
Really in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally hung up on him because he wouldn't hang up.
Of course
and
not.
My computer came back.
Of course, it was nothing wrong with it, Paul. It's a pop up.
And it's been fine since. So do I have anything to worry about?
Not as long as you didn't let him in. As long as you didn't have him on your computer.
I did let him in.
Oh.
So do I have anything?
You got to run a scan.
Yeah.
Do I have to worry about anything?
Yeah, you got to run a scan like Bob said. You need to run Malwarebytes to see if he loaded anything on your computer while he was poking around. You have no idea if he took anything. So if you have any important data on your machine, I mean, who knows what he was doing on your system. Imagine if I came to your home and
he could still be taking data off your machine.
He could be, yeah. And knocked on your door and said, hey, Paul, you know what? There's a problem with your gas. Or, hey, there's a problem with your water. Can you let me in? That's what happens all the time.
Okay.
Just in our neighborhoods. Would you let me in?
No.
Okay, now if I had a little thing that I faked on my neck that said I'm from the water company, would you let me in?
Maybe.
Don't do that.
Oh.
You call the water company.
Oh, okay.
This is what they're doing is exactly what they did on the computer, right? The computer made it look like it was Microsoft calling saying, hey, Paul, you got a problem. If I fake a little name tag from the water, you know how hard that would be? It's not hard. You're going to let the bad guy walk in your door. It happens all the time. Don't let these people in your house. Don't let them in your computer.
Never happened before, but I was so aggravated I wanted to get this fixed. So,
right.
So But last night when I was on the computer, when I did go in to find my Jumble Solver, all I did was go into Google. So I thought, that's safe.
So here's the problem with a Jumble Solver or any kind of website that does this stuff for you. These bad guys put these little pop-up scenarios on these web sites that you're going to. So when you Google Jumble Solver, who knows what site you're going to, right? When you're going in and Google, it's like opening the Yellow Pages and putting your finger on the Yellow Pages and saying, okay, I'm going to go get a sandwich, but it's a tattoo parlor, right? Yeah. It's not necessarily where you think you're going.
What's real and what's clickbait?
Exactly. So all they did was they solved your jumble and
no,
fed
they
you.
Didn't.
That didn't even work.
No, I still had to figure it out myself after I hung up on
them. Well, it serves you right, Paul, for cheating.
Yeah.
It all comes back down to that.
Paul, let me give you a tip. If okay. that happens again, you were not able to close that window that said,
correct.
You know, you've been hacked.
It's a pop-up.
So
right.
what I want you to do, if that happens again, is hit Control-Alt-Delete and click on Task Manager. In Task okay. Manager, click on your browsers and close them all.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Paul. And
okay,
what you want to do is go talk to your brother-in-law who's a computer whiz. Have him scan your computer for you. We have to be careful because who knows if those guys loaded anything on your machine. And anybody listening out there, whether it has to do with the example of my knocking on your front door or some ding-a-ling putting a thing on your computer saying, call me,
okay.
don't fall for it ever.
Okay.
Ever.
So I don't do anything online. I don't do any banking. I do nothing.
All right.
I'm afraid of this happening. I don't buy anything online.
All right. So the guy probably has nothing then as far as anything
right.
of data.
And last night, my computer, my antivirus, once a month it pops up and says, your virus is safe.
Yeah.
I mean, your computer's safe. There's no viruses.
Good.
You're ready to go. So I see that once a month. So I just X out of it and I keep going. So okay. I guess I'm okay.
I would scan it with Malwarebytes for free. So we're going to link Malwarebytes on our website. So you should go to computertalkwithtab.com.
Right.
And find the link. And run the free Malwarebytes just to be sure to see if the guy loaded anything in the background on your machine while he was poking around in your system.
Okay. Great.
All right, Paul.
All right. Thank you.
And no more cheating. See what it gets you? Figure out your jumble your own self, for crying out loud.
Right.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
All right, Paul.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, we're going to step out for a quick break. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have three lines open for you. We're going to be here till 11. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. The weathermen have scared you from being outside today. So the only place to be is in the air conditioning, cuddled up with your computer. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And so feel free to get online. Let's go right to your calls. You've got Keith and your Britain next. Morning, Keith.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on?
Great show, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
Love it. Question. I've got a Windows 7 desktop that can reboot in safe mode. There's an issue with the memory check. So I ran the memory check.
Yep.
And it bombs out on byte 157665.
You get a bad stick. You got a bad stick of RAM.
Oh.
So if you open, I'm hoping you have multiple sticks of RAM in your motherboard, right, on your computer, these little sticks of RAM. How much RAM do you have, Keith? Do you know?
Four.
Oh.
You probably only have one.
You probably only have one.
You need to buy new RAM, and I double it.
Well, before you do that, though.
Make sure it's compatible.
There's that, but how old is this machine, Keith? It's running Windows 7.
It's 2009.
Oh, you have my permission to get a new machine. So don't buy any more RAM. Don't spend any more time. Windows 7 is not going to get updated as of January 14th, to be exact.
I was thinking that you would recommend a recovery disk.
Recovery is not going to help you here. You've got a bad stick of RAM.
It's hardware.
It's a hardware problem. It actually is telling you you've got a bad chunk of memory, and that stick is bad. So we're assuming you've got one 4-gig stick inside your motherboard. If you've got two 5-gig stick, 4-gig... Two gig sticks, which are kind of weird and rare. But 10 years ago, they probably had them.
They were doing it. Yeah,
they could have it. You could try an A-B swap where you pull one of the sticks out, reboot, see if it comes up clean because it's only one stick that's bad. But if you only have one stick of RAM, you're done.
And then, you know, it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
Come on. Do yourself a favor.
It's got all my data.
That's okay. That's
you
okay.
You can transfer it.
Yeah, you can take your hard drive out of that computer physically, and you can buy an enclosure and make it a USB drive, or you can stick it in a new computer and not even have to transfer it. Just sit it there as a drive D if you want. It's going to be sitting there with an operating system, but it won't boot. And you go over to the data areas of that drive, and you have it all there.
Put it in a USB enclosure or get a USB adapter for it.
Yeah, very simple stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't have to feel like you're locked into this machine just because your data's on there. It's 10 years old, it served you well, and you're not going to get a security update as of January. So I would never tell you to spend another penny on this thing.
Okay.
You've gotten your money's worth.
Indeed.
And just look for a new replacement. Now, when you're out there looking for new computers, a $300 computer is not the same as a $1,000 computer, even if they both say i5. Understand that the innards of those machines will be different. They'll either be a better processor, multiple cores, different generation. I can't tell you how often we have to talk to folks about explaining why a $300 computer is not a $1,000 computer at a discount. So you probably spent at least a grand on this machine 10 years ago. You spent wisely because it lasted you a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do the same thing, and this next machine will give you as long a lifespan.
So I should look for i5,
8th gen, or 9th gen if you can find it, but we haven't been able to find it ourselves either.
8 gigs of RAM or more.
Yeah, 8 gigs of RAM.
Right.
And either a solid state drive or a hybrid drive. And then you can use your old drive as a data spot too, where you just pop it in your machine and it'll sit there.
So I should feel safe thinking that there is an extra slot for this.
In most computers, there will be. Okay. I assume your drive is probably a 3.5-inch IDE or SATA drive. It's probably the size of a grilled cheese sandwich. And you're going to put it in your computer if there's a slot, if there's a space open. If you buy a real slimline case, you might find that there isn't a slot.
Or if you get a laptop.
Forget it. Then you won't. If it's a laptop, it has to be external. Then, like Bob
said, pay $25. Get an adapter to adapt it to USB, and
you're all done.
Copy your data over.
Yep.
USB. Oh, right. That'll save a lot of time too.
Yeah. USB adapter. Convert it to and just copy your data over, and then you can retire the old hard drive too. It's going to fail. It's 10 years old.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I was hoping that it was a repairable situation, but it's not.
Probably not with that failure on the actual specific spot on the memory checker. It's telling you it's a bad stick of RAM.
Yeah, I ran it multiple times, and it stopped in the same spot each time.
Yeah, and for what it is, it's not worth putting more money into it.
No way.
Okay.
No way at all.
Right. Windows 10 is a good operating system.
Windows 10 is the only operating system you can choose. I won't use the word good necessarily. It's got its problems, but it's the only operating system if you want to stay in the Microsoft world. If you want to choose the Apple world, you could choose an Apple system.
No, thank you. All right. Okay, well, great, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right, Keith.
I'll do as you recommend.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Rob in Weathersfield. We may have to hold you over, Rob, but what's up? You have a question on 5G?
Guys are talking about 5G, and New York Times just posted an article the other day about the kind of health risks that people are trying to say because the infrastructure has to be five times more than 4G because it doesn't travel as far.
Exactly.
So how do you try to read between the lines of some of these studies? World Health Organization saying yes, we have to do more studies on the impact of 5G and brain cancer and all these things. So, I'm hearing of friends who are getting Wi-Fi blockers or shutting off Wi-Fi when they go to bed.
Yep.
Where do you guys stand on these kinds of things when it's related to the health issue?
Bob has a feeling.
I have two things I can tell you. Okay. The first thing is, it's the government spending more money for boards to do studies that will tell us nothing. And the second thing is, if you believe all that stuff, just go out and get a roll of tinfoil and make a hat.
I knew, yeah. Well,
yeah. I mean, when cell phones came out, they were telling you that you're going to get brain cancer from that. So, look, I believe in making sure that whatever we're broadcasting is not going to kill you, obviously. You don't want anything that's going to cause a problem. But we've got communities that are blocking it preemptively.
Yes.
So you know what? If that's
Europe, you're seeing stuff in Netherlands, the reports of birds being dying over, you know.
Yeah, birds die from windmills, too.
So as far as
what do you believe? Great question, Rob. I have no idea who's the authority and what you believe. Is it the scientists? Is it the government? We can talk further about it if you want to hang on, but we're coming up against the hard break.
Sure.
All right. We'll leave Rob hanging on there. Feel free to get online if you want to chime in on 5G, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back.